Church, this morning I want to talk about trust. Last week we were able to dig into the subject of wisdom and knowledge and following the life and the kingship of Solomon. But today we want to dive into the days of Elijah. We want to take a look at this prophet who really exhibited an incredible opportunity to walk faithfully where the Lord had led him, but also to exercise trust. And just a quick shout out to my two boys, just as they exercise trust this weekend. For those that are new, maybe this is your first weekend joining us, you're like, what is Heart Conference? Well, Heart Conference is a yearly women's conference that we have here at Life Center. We just celebrated it this past weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And what that meant in my household was that Cassie was involved Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, which meant that over Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, I made 6 meals in a row. All together, right? No break. I'll give the boys some credit. They didn't ask me for breakfast. They were like, Dad, we got this one. We're going to go with cereal, right? It's safe. But I do just want to give them a shout out for all the trust that they exhibited this weekend to me. Every meal that I put in front of them, they didn't even second think it. I don't know if it's just that they're growing boys and they were so hungry, but they ate it with zest and with zeal. And glory be to God, we're still here today. Come on. Come on. That's good. And just for everyone to know, all right, didn't even do craft dinner. That's tonight. All right, that's tonight. No, I just, yeah, so Cass came home yesterday. She was pleasantly surprised to see the children up and with energy. They gave a good report saying, Dad took care of us. He's okay. I cried as she walked in the door, said, never leave us again. It was just a great, great moment, a great opportunity for me to exercise trust in all the skills that she has prepared me for up until that time, and also for my boys to say, you know what, maybe Dad has got this. But trust is so important, isn't it? It's so important in our daily lives, in our relationships, whether it be with friends or with family. But trust is key to our relationship with God. It's key to our relationship with God. And this is one of the encouragements that I want to give you, is that you can trust God in all things. Someone say all things. You can trust God in all things. See, this is the beautiful piece of our connection and our relationship with the Father. We sang about it today. God, even when I don't see it, you're working. God, even when I don't feel it, you're working. God, even when I am lacking trust, you are worthy to be trusted. This is the God that we serve. Our opportunity to step into this relationship, to allow all of the things that God has taught us through his word, to allow all of the things that God continues to teach us through his testimony, through our being here and being present today. These are the things that we can build our trust on the Lord. We can build that firm foundations of our house on his word. And so that even when the wind and the storms and the waves may come, may our trust ever be in the Lord and not in ourselves. This was something that Elijah truly demonstrated time in and time over. And it's really cool to kind of walk through the Old Testament together. We recently walked through Exodus, which introduced us to Moses. And Moses had this incredible opportunity to step in for the Lord at a time where his chosen nation of Israel were suffering. Moses was called to confront Pharaoh, the leader of the time, who was treating the Israelites improperly, and God wanted to set his people free, and Pharaoh just was determined to keep them enslaved and to keep them kind of working for himself. And God called Moses to confront Pharaoh. God also called Moses to lead the children of Israel from slavery out into the promised land. And we walked together through that journey through the desert where God continually called Moses to stand in, to hear from him, deliver his words to the people of Israel. And God also spoke with Moses on Mount Horeb. Well, God calls Elijah in much the same way that we saw God call all of the judges. In the time where the Israelite nation is struggling, God would raise up, in the past he would raise up judges. Now that there are kings in place, God raises up his prophets. And Elijah is a prophet worthy of study. Now, we do not have enough time today to go into all of the incredible stories that you can find and that you can read about Elijah. But I do encourage you this week week to go through chapter 17 through 19 and dig into the stories of Elijah. Dig into this man of faith. Dig into this one who not only was called by God, but was faithful to what it was that God had asked him to do. This morning, we're going to contrast two different stories of trust. Two different stories where Elijah is called into certain encounters where he will deal with, specifically this morning, two women. One being the widow of Zarephath, and the other, the wife of Ahab. Similarly, we see how the plagues in Moses' time, that they were sent to really confound and confront Egypt and the gods that they served. And we'll see as Elijah goes about in his journey that all of the miracles that take place are really to scream from the mountaintops what we can scream this morning, whether you were at heart or making chicken nuggets at home, right? That we can scream, there is no God like Yahweh. Come on, church. There is no God like Yahweh. The testimony that you heard today from Francesca about her daughter, the testimony that we heard about God setting people free in deliverance in just a few weeks' time, we're going to show that heart testimony that Annalisa gave, and just a huge shout out to what God has done in the life of this incredible woman who calls Kanata home. God has done so much. Just not in my notes, but I just want to take a moment and just thank the Lord for salvation. I want to thank the Lord for his faithfulness. I want to thank the Lord for the transformation that he provides to people who will say, okay, God, I don't know, but I'm willing to follow. And Annalisa and her mom have been such a blessing, and their little son and their family have been such a blessing to this congregation. After Cassie stepped into her pastoral role now here at Life Center, we hired Annalisa to be our custodian, and Annalisa has faithfully served in this church. You may not know her, but you see the fruits of her labor each and every week. And we're going to show her testimony in just a little bit, and God is incredible. Amen. And what God has done in the life of one of us, he is doing in the life of all of us. And so maybe you're here today and you just need to be reminded of how incredible it is that God would call you by name. That he would call you by name. Who are we? That he would speak our names and say, hey, I love you first. Before you ever loved me, I love you. And Elijah wrestles through this same type of connection with God as he looks around at the people of Israel. He looks around at his nation, and the king at the time, King Ahab, is struggling in his leadership. He's struggling in how to correctly and God-fearingly direct the people. God is presenting himself before Elijah. Elijah is in love with the Lord, and he's presented with these two opportunities to really lean on trust, to announce to the world that there is no God like Yahweh. 1 Kings chapter 17, 8 to 12 says this, then the word of the Lord came to him, arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to feed you. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, bring me a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, oh, and also bring me a small morsel of bread in your hand. And here she responded, as the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a jug. And now I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die. Elijah is presented with a life and death situation where, as he is being faithful to the Lord, now this widow is responding and saying, listen, what it is that you ask, I cannot give. I only have enough for myself and my son. And we are invited into this story and this understanding that this is going to be their last meal. So how does Elijah respond? Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but first make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. Whew. Church, there is no God like Yahweh. There is no God like Yahweh. Later on in the New Testament, as we've read together through HeartStrong, we'll see that Jesus encourages us that as we go to the Lord in prayer, that we are to ask him each and every day for our daily bread, as our future is in God's capable hands. But here is the question that Elijah and this widow are presented with. And what God can give me, is what God can give me now greater than what death may take from me tomorrow? Without provision, the widow and the son, they're going to perish. Zarephath is inside in the heartland of Baal worship. Surely God isn't going to be present here. But our God is greater than any other God. And there is no God like Yahweh. I love this piece of the story. So many times in Elijah's journey, you'll see him. He'll confront the prophets of Baal. He'll confront these gods of the other lands that in cases like Kings of Ahab, sometimes the worship of other gods will actually be invited into the nation of Israel. And Elijah will confront these individuals. And you see this battle taking place in the physical as much as it is in the spiritual. But I love this story of how Elijah is brought into this foreign nation and he approaches this widow and her son. And not only is God available to us here in the church, but God is available for us in the world. Amen? Our God is greater. There is no God greater than Yahweh. I just love what God is doing here in this story. Elijah is being sent out on this individual mission to be that testimony, to be that light that Israel is supposed to be. The entire intention of God bringing Israel out of slavery, the entire intention of God bringing Israel out of Egypt was so that they could show the world who the true God, the only God, is. We see God not only being concerned about the nation, but being concerned about the individuals. A widow and a son, maybe insignificant in the overall story, and yet so significant to God. That he would send Elijah to have this offer being extended. 1 Kings chapter 17, 14 to 16. Oh, thank you. Pastor Elizabeth, you're the best. Nice shirt, by the way. Woo! Come on. Heart merch is looking good. I got some myself, right? Took it home. Cass said, you're going to wear that tomorrow. I said, certainly, if you put it on the bed, I'll put it on. But God is so good. So we see this in the story of 1 Kings chapter 17, 14 to 16. It says this, "For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the jar of flour shall not be spent, and the jar of oil shall not be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And as she went and did, as Elijah said, she and he and her household ate for many days. The jar of flour was not spent, neither did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah." Hallelujah. Church, you can trust the Lord. As God speaks, whether it be through his word, whether it be through others in this room, maybe it was on Heart Conference, maybe you're here this morning and just this past weekend, God has been challenging you to step out in faith. God has been challenging you when it comes to trust. And in those moments of expectation, in those moments when you're surrounded by other followers, it's such a beautiful place to connect with God. But what about tomorrow? What about on Tuesday? What about on Wednesday if the forecast miraculously changes to more snow? Will you trust the Lord then? This is what God has called us to. This widow and her son are being challenged in this moment. Elijah is being challenged in this moment. He has heard from the Lord and he executes on what it is that the Lord has done. But it is not Elijah who will bring forth the miracle. As Elijah is speaking these words to the widow, what is he doing? He's speaking in faith. There's a trust that Elijah is exhibiting here to say, listen, this is what I have heard from God. I know that my God is who he says that he is. And so if he says it, he is faithful to bring it to its fullness and completeness. And so Elijah is exhibiting faith in this moment. Church, if you have heard from the Lord, I encourage you, step into what it is that God has asked you to do. You can trust him, even if you don't see him moving. Even if you don't feel him moving, our God is worthy to be praised. Now, the flip side of this happens in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 3. Elijah has exhibited this incredible faithfulness. This widow and her son are completely blessed. This story is written down in the Bible for us to be reminded of how we can step into trust when God speaks. And Elijah's life is generally followed by walking in accordance to the word of the Lord. As God speaks, he listens. But one of the things that I love about the Bible is that it is honest. Don't you love that? Right? We just walk through the story of King David, right? A man who was called the man after God's own heart, and yet we walk through some stories where that can't possibly be true. One of the things that I love about the Bible is that it's real, right? It presents its characters, it presents these ancient figures as human and not perfect. A reminder for us that they are an example, but Jesus is the one that we're called to follow. Hallelujah. Elijah steps into this story in 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 to 3. It says this: Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, Ahab being the king at the time, Jezebel his wife, and how he had killed all the prophets of Baal with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then Elijah was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. Now, you would have to study for some time, and we definitely encourage you to do so in 1 Kings this week, to notice that there is something glaringly omitted in Elijah's story here. There is no word of the Lord that comes to Elijah until 1 Kings chapter 9. But in Elijah's story, we saw already together that with the widow of Zarephath, there is an opening of the word of the Lord to Elijah. There are different confrontations that Elijah will have with King Ahab, where Elijah steps into that place because God prompts him with a word. Incredible stories of Elijah stepping in, directly contrasting and just tearing down the idea of the power of Baal and Baal's prophets and Baal's priests, because God spoke to Elijah and said, step into this place. The earth actually will experience rain at a time during Elijah's story from the word of the Lord. But when God is present and silent, even the greats of Scripture can struggle. Before we continue, though, a caution. This is actually really important, and just something that in my dialogue with Pastor Jason over the last couple of weeks, I just really had to work this out. About 3 weeks ago, Pastor Jason came and said, "Hey, right after Heart Conference, like literally the next day, we're going to talk about Jezebel." And I said, "That's crazy. Why? What are we doing here? That's wild." And he's like, no. And we kind of walked through it got to this place where I was like, "Oh, okay, I see what's going on here." Before we continue, a caution. Jezebel is noted here in the book of 1 Kings and also will then be repeated in the book of Revelation, leading many historically to teach about a demonic Jezebel spirit. But as a pastor, as a part of Life Center, I want to encourage you that men and women are equal parts sinners. Men and women can use anything, including sex, as a gift from God in sinful manners. We can influence one another to sin and harm one another by sinning. However, men and women are also new creations in Christ. And who God has set free is free indeed. Oh, men and women are redeemed by the power and the blood of the Lord. They are heirs to the kingdom. Women are heirs to the kingdom and redeemed just as much as men are. Men and women can equally fall into false teaching. Women should not be scapegoated or silenced, shunned, or reduced to a sexual prop by a sinful man attempting to use them to minimize their culpability for sinful actions. Hallelujah. The story of Elijah and Jezebel, the issue actually isn't Jezebel's presence, but Elijah's lack of knowledge when it comes to the word of the Lord. In verse 9 of 1 Kings, the Lord will speak to him in that small, still voice, but I want you to note how heaven ministers to him in the midst of this story. See, as Elijah flees from this interaction with Jezebel, my caution today is I think that many of us would be really quick to give Elijah a pep talk. You know, that small spiritual abuse, like, Elijah, you're stronger than you think you are. You can step back in there. Oh, Elijah, if you'd only prayed more. Oh, Elijah, if you just read more of your Bible, you know, that would have prepared you really. Like, you're like, what are you doing? Like, you're supposed to be this person that continually points people to God, like Jezebel, like we would be in there just kind of giving him this speech of you are better than this, you are bigger than this, God could be there for you. But what does heaven do in Elijah's story? 1 Kings 19, 5 to 8. As Elijah lay down and slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. And he looked, and behold, there was at his head a cake baked on hot stones and a jar of water. And he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, for the journey is too great for you. And he arose and ate and drank and went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the mount of God. Charles Spurgeon, incredible, incredible theologian and preacher, speaking on these verses, said this: I'm afraid that if you and I had been there, we should have begun talking to Elijah and have worried the poor man by telling him how wrongly he had been acting. Instead of doing that, the angel let him have cake and then let him go back to sleep. That was the best way for caring for him. And there is many a hungry and weary child of God who needs food and rest more than anything else. The spirit needs to be fed, and the body needs feeding also. Do not forget these matters. It may seem to some people that I ought not to mention such small things as food and rest, but these things may be the very first elements in really helping a poor, depressed servant of God. Remember, Elijah, a widow, and her son, the prophets of Baal, Ahab, and Jezebel are all characters in the story, but the Bible is a book pointing us to the Father. In both stories today, there is God in action, a supernatural provision. Those who are close to perishing, but both stories show something greater. A God who is most kind because, unlike all other gods, no one is like Yahweh. Church, there is time to hunger for more prayer. There's time to dig deeply into the Word of God. But there's also time to just sit together and eat. There's also time for us to remember that some of the most difficult pieces of trusting in the Lord is trusting in Him and simply resting and waiting and going to Him in prayer. I'm so thankful for the journey that we've been on through 1 Kings. Last week, talking about wisdom and being hungry and thirsting for the Lord to move and wanting to make wise decisions and doing that in conjunction. As Elijah is wrestling through where it is that he is supposed to step in for the nation of Israel, aren't you so thankful today for things like Heart Conference? Aren't you so thankful today to be present or to be online joining us right here in Life Center Kanata? Church, look around. You are not alone. You're not alone. This morning, our encouragement for you is to lean on the Lord, to trust Him in those moments where He so clearly speaks. You may not know how or where He's going to move, but yes, He will. And in those times where we may be our own worst enemies, stepping into different situations and exiting those situations and wondering how we could have possibly failed so miserably, what a beautiful depiction we have of our Lord, who meets us in those moments and says, eat cake, rest, be strong, be courageous, for I am with you, for I am with you, for I am with you. Where Elijah was positioned to hear from the Lord on his own, church, we are positioned to hear from the Lord collectively. In a few moments, Francesca will come up to close the service after communion, and she'll invite anyone who wants to come up and pray. We do this each and every Sunday. One of the temptations in church is to make the things that we do often simply a form of habit, but it's not. The invitation to come and pray is the invitation to be reminded that you're not by yourself. It's the invitation to take the load that this world has placed on your shoulders and to recognize that you have not been created to do it alone. So yes, lean on the Lord. Yes, lean on the Word of God, but we can also lean on each other. At times where we can't hear that still small voice, maybe a brother or a sister will present something, a different angle, a different opportunity for us to be refreshed in our trusting of the Father. In Matthew 11:28, Jesus makes this one thing undeniably clear. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Church, you can trust the Lord. As you came in this morning, you will have received your communion elements. If you did not receive one of these elements, if you just want to raise your hand really quick. Incredible hospitality team yet. Just keep it up there. They will come and bring one of these to you. So one of my favorite parts of our monthly meetings is that at the first of each and every month, we share communion together. And this is not simply out of habit, but this is out of response of what it was that Jesus did on the cross for each and every one of us. Now, where the widow and her son were given provision until the next rain, where Elijah stepped into Ahab and Jezebel's story and confronted them with the truth of who God truly is. Church, we have an undeniable and eternal confirmation that God is with us. And this morning, as we step to the communion table together, we proclaim that He is who He says that He is. We proclaim that He did call us first. We stand in awe that for those who have given their lives to the Lord, that our sins are forgiven, that He is present in this place, and that every breath and every day is another opportunity to grow in trust with Him. Paul, as he was speaking to the church in Corinth, wrote these words, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Before we partake this morning, let me pray. As Jesus had encouraged us to pray, God, give us our daily bread. That Passover celebration, He began to transform what the bread of Passover represented is now representative of His body that was broken for each and every one of us. As I pray a blessing over this room, I encourage you to seek the Lord in repentance, to seek the Lord in forgiveness. Maybe you're here this morning and you just simply need to say, God, help me to trust you. Help me to trust you at school when it just doesn't feel like anyone understands. Help me to trust you, Lord Jesus, and what it is that you're calling me to. God, help me to trust you in my relationships. Help me to trust you at home. Help me to trust you for tomorrow. Let's pray. So God, this morning, Abba Father, we ask that you would give us today our daily bread. And we recognize, Lord Jesus, as you explained to your disciples before they ever fully understood the cross, that you willingly stepped into that place, paid the price that we should have paid because of your great love for us, Lord God. Today we stand new, clothed in glory, set free in Jesus' name. And so this morning I ask that you would forgive of every sin, wash it away under the blood that was freely poured out for us. And God, would you help us to trust this morning whatever season, whatever chapter, whatever challenge, God, grow trust in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake this morning. Verse 25, in the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Lord God, this morning, we once again remember the body, the blood that was poured out for us. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your servant Elijah. We thank you, Lord God, for the incredible testimony and the miraculous opportunity, Lord Jesus, that you have for us to learn about how faith can actually grow and inspire those around us. God, I thank you for that reminder today that even in those moments where we act out of your will, God, you are quick to comfort, to restore, to renew, to extend a hand that would say, my son, my daughter, stand up. Let's keep running this race together. God, this morning, thank you. Thank you for Heart Conference. I thank you for this church. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for each person that in their heart would say, God, I just want to trust you a little bit more today than I did yesterday. Whether they know you or not, Lord God, meet with each person in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's partake this morning. Francesca, if you would come and close our service. Church, thank you so much for being with us today. We'll see you again next week.